Good afternoon. No, good evening. I should say we on at a new time at 6 o'clock. Good evening. Good evening. You are now tuned into JLP Radio in conjunction with Bars and Hoops Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janice Yvette, and I'm here with
Stills the Great.
What's up, Stills? What does that mean? I see you sighing. I could almost guess.
I mean, you know, life is good.
Where tell everybody where you was.
All right. Since you want to cut to the chase, yeah, it's obvious. See, everybody sees on the camera. I was in Madison Square Garden, you know, watching my Knicks, you know, bid for, you know, their chance at possibly going to the Eastern Conference Finals today. You know, today was game one against the Miami Heat.
Okay.
In Madison Square Garden, where we had home court advantage at 1 o'clock. When 3 o'clock hit, we no longer have home court advantage because the Knicks lost today. But nonetheless, I mean, I'm in good spirits. I'm just happy that the team is doing well this year. It was unexpected. I think that we made a few mistakes today that can be corrected. So
What mistakes did they make?
They definitely fell into Miami's game plan. They allowed the Knicks to just shoot threes all day today. We shot less than 20% from the behind the arc today. We also shot under 70% from the free throw line. And we had a lot of turnovers today, unforced turnovers. And, you know, these are things that can be corrected with some focus and just a little bit more attention to detail in the game. So I'm not really worried.
Okay, Jeff.
Miami's a good team. You know, Miami's a well-coached team. You can't take that away from them. You know, Pat Riley is behind the strings, the man behind the strings of Eric Spoelstra. So, you know, he learned from a good guy. So they played well. They did what they had to do. They came in and stole a game from the Knicks today, and I have confidence that come Tuesday.
But you ain't lucky Sean though, because when you went, you just went two times. You went last week, two games. They won both games. You know what I mean?
Hey,
but you got, listen.
Everybody's been saying that.
You
like,
said,
I need to go.
Yeah, you need to
but
be
it's
there.
Expensive.
Yeah, you need to be there, but you got it. Come on.
No, got it. Don't do that.
You got it. I think, you know, this is a good thing because you've been saying Knicks in five, Knicks in five. So we're hoping for just a sweep, right, from now on. What you call it, a gentleman's sweep?
A gentleman's sweep is five games, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to be honest. After watching today's game, you know, I got to be realistic. I'm going to say that it may go possibly seven games, but we can probably end it in six. Because the Heat, the way that they're playing, they look like they're not just going to lay down, even though they lost a couple of key players. They look like they're going to come to play, and the Knicks have to be ready to play game two. That's a pivotal, that's a crucial game because we need to at least even the series going into Miami, where it's like a home game for the Knicks anyway. We have Knicks fans everywhere, and we have a lot of Knicks fans in Miami. So it remains to be seen what happens. But I've enjoyed the ride so far, man. Last week I went to both games, Friday and Sunday. This week a friend got me to go to the game again today, so I went on a humble and I enjoyed it. Today I enjoyed it. I had a really good time. So
that's what it's
I'm
about.
In good spirits. And
shout
then
out
we're
to
here
the
today.
Knicks. Shout out to the Knicks for making it this far. Where's the ball button?
The ball button is right there.
Oh, okay, because I'll be needing to drop bombs. I don't really know where the button is.
All right.
So I want to drop another bomb.
Let's go.
Because when I walked in, I ain't recognize you because you look even slimmer than you did the last 2 weeks ago when I saw you. So I gotta ask you, are you still on your, you know, your grind with the health thing, with the, you know, getting healthy?
I mean, as far as the health, I mean, that's always the number one concern for me. Because as you know, I have a young child that I have to live for.
Absolutely.
Had a scare at the doctor. It made me just figure out that I have to, like, kind of start changing my ways. And I've been sticking to that. I must admit, like, I've been, you know, a lot of people have been giving me a lot of different advice saying, like, oh, don't starve yourself. Don't do this. Don't do that. So I try to find a healthy medium in between everything that everybody's been telling me. And I kind of came up with something. I'm not going to share it yet because I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to start it.
Right.
And when I start it, I'll know by hearing from you if it's actually working or not. So it's something where I'm adding a little bit more physical activity into my regimen. I'm, of course, going to still try to eat as clean as possible. But they say that you don't necessarily have to cut a lot of calories and eat a lot of greens and eat like a rabbit and do things that
you don't.
You're going to eventually binge eat after you stop doing it. So I'm going to try that route.
So everything that you said is true. Everybody knows I was a raw vegan alkaline. Uh-huh. Had a raw vegan alkaline diet when I was battling cancer. The immunologist that I went to, I thought I was just all great. I was gonna be all impressive. I was telling him, look, I eat this, I eat that, I don't eat that. And he was like, you know, you need to eat meat. Need the enzymes, but it was a blood cancer. So he was saying like the a lot of the nutrients that we need, especially if you're sick like I was, you have to get it from the source. He said that definitely not every single day. He said to get the best cuts of meat. And he also said to get your meat from a butcher.
And
if you're in Queens, you can go to the butcher. There's an organic butcher in College Point. That's the one he gave me.
And just to add to that, somebody mm-hmm. also told me something that was really interesting that made me lose my mind. It was like, you know, people say cholesterol isn't good for you, but they say that your brain is made out of a lot of cholesterol.
Okay. So I'm not real technical or real thing with the brain, but I know there's some good fats and there's some bad fats.
Yes.
I definitely know that brain fats, the omega-3 fatty acids, are what's really, really good for your brain health. So you can find that in fish, a lot of salmon and stuff like that. You could take supplements as well. But definitely burgers every single day, fries every single day.
What?
Just clogs the arteries. The arteries.
Yeah.
And you know, it just creates a plaque, and which makes it hard for your blood to flow.
Yes.
Don't let me get listen. Wait until wellness episode.
But that's what we're doing, right? You're telling people about wellness.
Remember last time I was here, I told you the whole month of May, we're doing a wellness challenge for the first week.
Yes.
Don't forget. It's the same thing. Like you were saying, you got to build yourself into the regimen. The first week is, you know, just add more water to your diet.
Yes, yes.
H2O and H3O.
Yes.
Your H3O, you can get it from coconut fruit water. Juices like coconut water, your regular water, alkaline water.
Yes.
Waikea is one of the best ones. It's from Hawaii. That's on sale. I'm gonna do a whole JLP wellness show. So when that time comes.
Yeah.
But the first week, remember, all eat like the sodas.
Uh-huh.
You don't need sodas.
Yeah,
you
really
can get you a little seltzer water, little flavored seltzer water if you like that, because a lot of people like to have that, you know, like in their throat or whatever.
Yes.
The alcoholic drinks, the sweet drinks, they are a lot of people don't know they have a lot of calories, hidden calories in it.
Yes, yes.
People are drinking it. You have three or four drinks. Next thing you know, like,
that's,
you know,
about three meals.
And then you want to eat on top of that.
Yes.
It's not good. A lot of times, a lot of people drink at night. So,
yes.
You know, oops, sorry.
Absolutely.
That's my child calling me. She don't really, I forgot to turn off my phone, but that's life. It happens.
Yes.
But I'm excited for today's show. And the reason why I'm excited is because one of my dear friends is here, one of my friends in community, one of my brothers. He kind of shares my vision along with a lot of people. And I'm just excited to have him here. And when we come back from our first break, we're going to jump in and introduce him and talk to him.
Nice.
Yep.
I can't wait.
So, stay tuned.
Okay.
Also, JSB Studio is in the works, in progress. Look out! I'm having like a grand opening in my house for my studio inside.
So explain a little bit more about it.
I do 1,000 things, so I can't stay still. I spend a lot of money going to school, so I'm gonna make sure that you put that all of that education to the use. So I'm opening up my little home salon.
Okay.
It's going to be called, because my brand is, my company, my braiding company is Janice's Signature Braids LLC.
Yes.
So I plan on calling my friend Travis from the last show.
Shout out to Travis.
And we're going to do a DBA and have JSB Studio in the house. So, look out for that. You'll be able to come bring your kids. I know a lot of people are tenderhead. A lot of people have tenderhead children. I specialize in that.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely bring my son to you. Have you do his hair?
Yeah. Bring him. Bring him. Come.
Yeah.
Bring him. Come.
So what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah. So we're going to our first break.
Are we going to our first music break? We're going
to our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the great Dr. Shingo Blake.
Hey, okay. Check in with us.
Boys and girls, listen up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust. An architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got her stronger than heroin. Cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowd you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hand in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna be.
Boys and girls, listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV. You can host the TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking weed and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go. We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, hoes. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna be.
I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna be.
Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all.
Welcome back, welcome back. As promised, here with my first guest. A lot of people like to call him the rapping principal. He's been called the principal, hip hop principal. I like to call him my friend, my homeboy Shango. So people, he's also known as Dr. Blake.
Dr. Blizzy.
Yeah. So I wanna this is my friend. It's an honor and a pleasure to have him here. Queens native, you know. Dr. Shingo Blake. Dr. Blake, how you doing?
I'm well.
Yes.
How you doing?
Yes. Thank you so much for braving this crazy weather.
Crazy.
It is raining cats and dogs. We switched up the time on you because Steels just had to be at Madison Square Garden. You know,
understood, watching. My brother. Watching understood. The, but, it's a serious moment going on here in New York City.
But you know, in New York, you know, when the Knicks are playing, you move things around. So I just want to thank you so much for being here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Sorry that the Knicks didn't win, but you know, we got a full series. So, yes. You know, it's not over. We know what needs to happen.
Good work coming up. Yeah.
So one of the things that I like to do on my show is kind of like highlight the people that I know personally in my personal life who are doing just great things in the community. As a Black teacher, Black educator, I feel privileged and honored to have you here. You are doing something amazing. First, talk about a little bit about who you are and what's your initiative. What have you been doing since you've been a principal?
Since I was a principal,
yes,
wow.
Yes, I want to know a little. This show is dedicated to you. How did you get started in education up until now?
Wow. Well, listen. I mean, I first fell in love with the profession of education doing my work in Harlem.
Okay.
I was working in District 5 out of a school called PS 194, mm-hmm. And those shout out to PS 194 and all those students from back then who I get a chance to see now as young adults who have their families and things of that nature. But I was dealing with middle school Ooh. Children, you know.
Oh.
And it was Harlem with the Harlem swag and everything that comes along with that, you know, the mm-hmm. Mecca. So yeah. it was in the 90s. It was at a time in New York City where things were serious, but we opened up this school. We started a Beacon School program. And I would say that, you know, by the grace of God, we were able to impact a lot of young people. Who probably would have went in a different direction if they didn't have this safe space mm-hmm. where they could be in school from like, you know, not just 8 to 3, but on up until 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, research says that most crime happens between the hours of 3 and 6.
Right.
Right. Where wow. young people are outside mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, I
after
remember
school.
Yeah. I remember going up to school. Like it was like war games for us. You know, 3 o'clock hit. We hit Jamaica Avenue Hillside. And
what high school you went to?
I went to Cardozo.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Excuse me.
You know, speaking
that's the
of
smart
basketball,
school.
Ron LeClario, you know, that's
yeah, a shout out to Clario.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a famous coach out of Queens,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, it was, so that's where I fell in love. Fast right. forward. Ended up becoming principal of a school out here in Jamaica, Queens called IS 109.
Okay.
And that school was kind of like where I made my name. That's how I got the name, the Nation's Hip Hop Principal.
Got it.
You know, I was,
why? What you used to do? You used to battle the kids?
All that. But what actually happened, I came into a school that had urban blight. Everything that you would say is like your worst lean on me type school, mm-hmm. right? It was we had gang violence, we had low teacher morale, we had low test scores. I mean, it was just a school that was in great need of reform.
Right.
And when I came to this school, I wanted to send a message to the students to say that when you come into this school next year, you're going to be walking into a very different space. You're going to feel the sense of accountability. So I mandated that the students wear uniform.
How you did that?
So you already know that was
you ain't get beat up?
That was like, listen, when you know.
Those are fighting words.
That is fighting words. And when you draw the line in the sand and you say, this is what it's going to be, you know, we understand, I think one of the things about culturally relevant educators or representation is that we speak a dual language. We understand that what the educational responsibilities are, but we also speak hood.
We know how to
make it real clear.
Very
so I knew that when I imposed this particular rule,
yes.
that if I didn't enforce it, then I was not going to have any credibility amongst the students, parents, and the community.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
I enforced it. And that's a long story that I'll tell at another date.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I wanted to do was to make sure that students didn't feel like I was just putting a rule on them.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to give them an opportunity to have voice and push back against me so that we could begin to have a dialogue.
Yes.
So the students told me, I asked them, I said, why don't you want to wear the uniforms? They said, oh, by you making us wear the uniforms, you're robbing us of our individualism. And that's
it. I mean, they got a little point.
No, they don't. Because let me tell you why. And this is what I said to them. I said, and this is what the look was at the time. I said, you guys are wearing a uniform. You wear the same white t-shirt,
true,
same pants halfway down your behind, same do-rag on your head, same scarf in your back pocket. I said, you're wearing a uniform that's being marketed to you. At the time, it was BET and MTV and those kind of outlets.
Yeah.
And I said, but I'm going to put you in a uniform that's going to lead to you being exposed to careers and a different way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And of course, they didn't care for that because they're middle school students.
Yeah, they wasn't trying to.
They wasn't operating on that level.
Mm-hmm.
One student pressed me and said, yeah, but you're not going to be out here when we leave.
Mm.
And, you know, all the other schools in the neighborhood are going to think that we soft because we got to wear uniforms and you won't be there as we negotiate our way home.
Wow.
Right. So that was the real, to me, a real legitimate
argument,
like, perspective.
Right.
So I said, pulling it out of the sky, I said, you know what we're going to do? I said, we're going to make a rap song and we're going to make uniforms cool for the purpose of school. And when I said that, the students, all they heard was, we gonna make a rap song. They started getting hyped. Like, oh no, yeah. I had no idea of how to even begin.
Right.
Right. But grace of God, there was some people on my staff who was involved in the music industry. Mm-hmm. And we brought like the studio to the school. And we made a song called Time to Shine at 109.
Wow.
And Time's incorporated the theme of our school, which was teaching, innovation, motivation, and excellence.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, the next year we made it into a video,
mm-hmm.
right? Ooh. But let me tell you, and this is the educational significant part,
mm-hmm.
was that we took the making of videos, mm-hmm. and the making of songs and tied it to all the prerequisite learning standards. So
that's what I
applied learning. Right, was real and relevant, not where somebody's putting something on a smart board and you have a standard and you just have it there as a check because an administrator is going to come in and check you.
Mm-hmm.
No, the students were like, okay, so like, for example, with the math part, they helped me negotiate the budget with the production company that was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to figure out, okay, what how much are we going to spend on this particular, at the time it was CDs and DVDs. How much are we going to spend on this to make it? What is the price point that we're going to set in the market so that we understand that we can't overcharge, but we still have to recoup a profit? And how do we still come up with a quality product? All that's math.
Right.
That's charts, graph, data.
That you use in real life.
In real life. In ELA, we did the process of writing. In the process of filmmaking.
Yeah.
Right. When you film, sometimes you film on a sequence, you edit, right? You storyboard. When you write, you rewrite, you revise, you edit. So we made the connection that to be an effective filmmaker, you have to be an effective writer.
Absolutely.
And then we brought technology, and this is all before the term STEAM existed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We brought technology in and we brought Apple Mac computers and we had the students working on shorts, editing their pieces, using Final Cut Pro software at the time. So everything was industry standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's how I got the name The Nation's Hip Hop Principal, because I was able to take where the students were youth culture,
yes.
what they love.
Yes.
And I used it to help send a message of educational reform, send a message of it's an urgency for change, get them involved in the instructional process. And the byproduct of that was also getting the teachers to have a better understanding of young people and where they were coming from and making better connections.
Can you pause there?
Yep.
Can we pause there? Because I'm going on my seventh year next year, mm-hmm. as a charter school teacher. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of charter school teach in a lot of charter schools, there are, you know, a lot of black teachers, there are white teachers, and there are, you know, Latino teachers, whatever, right? A lot of the times, the people who did not speak the language, didn't come from the neighborhood, they had a big, huge problem connecting with the students, even up until, you know, today, you know? I think that it is remarkable, and I think it's very important that the teachers are really understand the importance of meeting the kids where they are, right?
Absolutely.
I think you do a disservice to the children, to students, scholars, families, and the community when you just are present yourself as this authoritative figure, but you haven't done your homework. You haven't walked the walk. You haven't talked the talk. And that's not, that don't mean that you got to be black. That don't mean that you got to, you know what I'm saying? Grow up a certain way, but understand the understanding that, you know what, these kids, these children are, they have smarts beyond the school, beyond what's in school.
That you can tap into.
Yeah, that you could definitely tap into. And I think that is the bridge that we as Black educators, that's the fight that we, that's the good fight that we always have to make sure that we're fighting and that we're being and like meeting these kids. And also holding some teachers accountable. Some people are friends with their teachers, but they don't want to tell them, yo, that's not, you know, what you're doing is not the right thing. You know what I'm saying? That child is screaming, that child is doing this. Maybe it's not a good idea to always call the cops on
the kid. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? There you know, has to that be a happens. Level of accountability, yeah. And it has to be a connection.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that, you know, so I was asked one time, how did you come up with this concept of hip hop and education? I said, I really didn't. I said, what I get credit for was being willing, was a willingness to listen to young people.
Yeah.
And from that dialogue, this came about.
Right.
So if we just are open to having the conversation, mm-hmm. building the relationships, understanding them from a cultural and social standpoint, we will be able to make connections that move children in the right direction. Oh yeah,
you could teach a child anything. Once you got their trust, mm-hmm. you could sit them down for anything. People ask me, Miss Jackson, you know, how do you do it? These kids, you just give them one look. I said, because they respect me. They know that everything that I'm telling them to do is connected to a bigger picture. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
But you just said something, that one look, right? Yeah. Because that's cultural too, right? That is like cultural. It's like the mama look, the auntie look. It's like that look, like we all know that look, but we know that those are the people who love us, right? So we respond to that, and that's why representation and increasing the number of Black educators working in any space, public, charter, is critically important, mm-hmm. because that representation is going to help create the cultural shifts in the building.
Great. So I want to shift gears, because You're still in education. You're retired, you know, but you're still doing education. Talk to me a little bit about BU. What is BU?
Let me shout out my BU family. BU, where you at? BU in the building. Let me shout y'all out.
BU.
BU is Black Influencers United.
Okay. Our vision is that we serve Black educators. We influence others, and we impact Black children. Mm-hmm. We're an organization dedicated to fighting systemic racism within education. We have a 7-point actionable item agenda. One of them is Black Studies.
Yes.
We are the group that is responsible so far for getting $20 million earmarked for the rollout of a pre-K to 12 Black Studies curriculum for the first time. In the history of New York. Yeah. That's history within itself. You got the bomb.
Yes, okay. Let's
you know what's so, yeah. It's so crazy, man. Not to cut the interview, but he's doing things. Well, you've been doing things, obviously. I have a friend. She was a principal at 354. She's no longer there.
Okay.
Her name is Raven Askew.
I know Raven.
That's my.
I know Raven,
her
yeah.
Her mom.
Yeah.
She's
like a superintendent now,
yeah,
right?
She's a superintendent now, yes. And she helped me get a vendor's license because I wanted to do what you're talking about mm-hmm. in the schools, like in this room, like radio and stuff like that.
And this is where it's at. The students are so into this type of like podcasting to me is like the new hip hop.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. So no, I don't want to cut it, but I just had to say that. No. She had the same type of ideas. And she did. She worked wonders over where she was. So
we need more people. Yeah. We need more people. And you're about to know somebody else because, you know, this. My plate is full, but, you know, Dr. Blake, we were supposed to connect on so many levels. And I need to know about the BU social educators, social.
Oh, my goodness.
Mixer that's coming up. But before we get into that, continue talking about.
Yeah, so BU is. So we have. Five committees. You mentioned the social committee being one, culture and community being another. We have an advocacy committee, which consists of parents and community leaders. We have a capacity committee, and we have social, culture and community, capacity, policy, and advocacy. Those are the five committees. And if you listen to the name, mm-hmm. it didn't say Black Educators United.
Yeah.
Black Edfluencers United.
Right.
So anyone who wants to have a positive impact on Black children and influence what happens in education, this is the organization for you.
So you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be a teacher.
No, if you, and that's the beautiful part of it, because mm-hmm. we're learning so much from each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I may look at the world only from a principal's lens, or like, you know, I've been in that mode so long.
Yes.
But then I have parents in the organization, and they give us a different perspective. So when we all get in a room united and stop speaking in silos, we can move mountains. That's how we got the Black Studies curriculum done. Mm-hmm. So we're political. We say to elected officials, you want our support. You got to support this agenda.
That's right.
And it's a unapologetically pro-Black agenda. And it's on behalf of our children, and we're not playing. It's a movement in New York City.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
Black influence is the organization. Mm-hmm. Be used the movement.
Oh, man.
See?
I gotta say it too.
My friends is dope. Anyway, I just wanted to say that real quick. We're going to take a break because we said a lot. Before we take a break, you said a lot about parents, community. I'm a educator, and I'm also a daughter. A mother of two daughters who go to middle school in Brownsville. Yeah. Okay. They're doing great. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with Brownsville, but I want to make sure I'm doing what I need to do. How do I stay on top of what I'm doing as an educator and what I'm doing as a parent and a member of this community?
It's a balance, right? Because you have a couple of lenses, you know, there's your parent lens, there's the teacher lens. I remember one of the biggest struggles for me was, you know, I was great at helping everybody's children, but you know, when it's your children, it's a whole other ball game,
right?
Oh
my God. My kids don't even listen to me. They're like, Mom, that's wrong. Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah. So you go out and you're great to the world, but you're a pain to them.
Absolutely.
But I think that you just said it. It's about being involved. It's about getting involved. Mm-hmm. So we just had the pandemic, right? We know what that did. The world was shut down. We were all in isolation. I read this article that talked about how Black educators deal with more trauma and stress than any other group, because we're dealing with the duality. Dealing with trying to educate our children, racism in America. We're seeing a Capitol being stormed. Yes. So we take all that in, but they said one of the greatest things is to be part of a community, mm-hmm. because we find power and strength in our the communal way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think that when it comes to all the different hats that we wear, mm-hmm. if we don't have to wear those hats by ourselves, but that we're part of a greater community that supports each other, really, mm-hmm. then it allows for you to then be all those things mm-hmm. that you already are.
Wow, I think we could go to break on that note. We got a few listeners. If you want to call in after the break, the number is 516-206-0711. You may have a question or a comment for Dr. Blake. Still, you may want to say something about the Knicks.
No, say anything else about the Knicks.
Let's go.
Are we queued up for the break?
We queued up for the break, all man. Right. We'll Shout back. Out to we'll everybody checking it live.
We'll be back. When we come back, we're going to find out really why they call Dr. Blake the rapping hip hop principal.
All right.
Stay tuned.
Now, normally, if I can help it, I don't spend a lot of time in a principal's office.
What? 9 o'clock.
Now, as I get to school, I hear the late bell ringing. Running through the hall, I hear the glee club singing. Get to the office, I can hardly speak, because it's the third late pass that I got this week. So to my first class, I run and don't walk. All I hear is my sneakers and the scratching of chalk. And when I get to the room, I hear the teacher say, Mr. Young, I'm happy that you could join us today. I try to sit down so I can take some notes, but I can't read what the kid next to me wrote. And if that wasn't enough to make my morning complete, as I try to get up, I find his gum on my seat. And with the seat stuck to me, I raise my hand and say, excuse me, but can I go to the bathroom, ma'am? The teacher got upset and she screamed out, no, it's off to the principal's office you go.
trays, I had Thursday's lunch, and when I tried the applesauce, I heard it crunch. I'm running up the stairs with a front tooth broken. The nurse just laughed and said, you must be joking. I looked up at her with a smile on my face. No joke, cause my front tooth is out of place. So I walked to school with ice on my lip. A nurse is late past like a gun on my hip. My books are real heavy, I walk and I'm dragging it. No school lunch next week, I'm brown bagging it. Forget class, I'ma shoot some more. With the late pass, I got no trouble at all. But then the nurse walks up and says, what do you know? It's off to the principal's office, you go.
Sorry, I was talking to my friend because we friends are in real life. This ain't no fakeness going on over good. Here. Because I haven't seen Dr. Blake in a long, long time. So I was just touching base. But Dr. Blake, just to continue a little bit, before we went to break, you were talking about BU and the movement. What is next for those students that you had that were in that video? Are you keeping in contact with them now, or what are they doing? Like,
well, I always say thank God for Facebook, you know what I mean, because now we have an opportunity, like, you know, you know they got pages and then they reminisce on who they were favorable of, so I'm able to keep in contact with them, and I see them now as young adults with their families. I see them exploring their careers. I've seen many of them who are actually in the music industry, not from the standpoint of the artist, but from like marketing and PR and really doing the stuff behind the scenes that many times we don't get exposed to, the manager, those kind of things. And so in fact, we're working on a documentary that will highlight like kind of like what happened to those young people. Where are they at now?
Do you have a title yet?
No, not yet. I got a couple of titles that are floating around, but we're just mostly focusing on like filming, and we'll figure the title out.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to look forward to that. We talked a little bit about the political ties that you have. There's a political part of the BU movement, right? I know I see you on vacation with the mayor. That's your homeboy. I see y'all taking pictures together. How is the mayor of New York City helping to push your movement, and how does he feel about it?
Well, he's a big time supporter of BU. He understands that, you know, our voice matters, our representation matters. Mm-hmm. I think he also understands that politically it's important for him to align himself with an organization like Black Influencers United. Mm-hmm. Because it allows for him to get his message out to a different group that is not your traditional groups. Like normally the mayor deals with the union, whether it be the teachers union or the principals union or administrators union and DC 37 and all these other unions that are important, but there's still a black voice that is not represented. They're not representative of what we want to see change in education. So, you know, he's always tapped in, he's engaging, he's asking questions. We presented, you know, he supported the Black Studies curriculum piece. And he's also been really vigilant about helping us with vendors, right, within the DOE, where we're saying we need to identify more Black vendors. Just recently in the New York City school system, they mandated now, it used to be suggested, they mandated that 30% of all contracts with the New York City public schools has to be NWBE. And we've been,
What, tell everybody what NWBE is.
Minority Women Business Enterprise.
Yes.
And so this is what happens when you have, like, I would call it the inside outside game, right? Mm-hmm. You have groups like BU that are pushing for change, but you also have people like the mayor and the chancellor who are in positions of power to pull the lever. And so we are working together on these agendas. This is not personality driven. Mm-hmm. It's rooted in an agenda and a vision. And we're so proud of that work and proud to have the mayor's support.
Yeah, the mayor is cool. Shout out to the mayor. He, you know, Mayor Adams, he cured himself of diabetes by using all holistic means. So he understands the power of wellness. Mr. Mayor, if you're listening, love to have you as a guest on the show. Come through. Talk to you, girl. I want to like kind of switch gears if I can for a moment. They call you the hip hop prince, but I know you done. You talked about how you did videos with the children. You taught them a lot about marketing. All right, where did your love of hip hop begin? Who do you have any favorite artists?
Yes,
let's go.
So check this out. Like, I was listening to hip hop since back in the days, like, you know, pre Rapper's Delight, right?
Okay.
But when I fell in love with hip hop, I remember the moment where I was like the bug, 1982.
Wow, I was 1 year old.
1982.
Go ahead.
I'm on Jamaica Avenue. Right. And, you know, back then everybody had the big boom box. Right. And I'm going to Cardoza. It was Maze. We used to go to Maze in the morning and catch the Q17A. And we would, you know, those who went to Cardoza and Bayside, you know, we were the kids that were being bussed to the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy comes up, he drops his boom box down. And you could tell he knew exactly what he was doing, because this was going to be a moment, because that's where we all hung out. Everybody's hanging out, just kind of like, you know, sitting there, and he presses play. And out the speakers come Sucker MC. Hey. And all I remember was that beat. Do that. I was like, what? I hadn't heard. I mean, I've been listening prior to, but I didn't hear something that was just so hard.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that is in the song when Run goes, the rhyme was deaf. And it went this way. I had never heard anybody use the language we were actively using in the streets. I was like, he said death. Like, that was actually on a record. After that, I was sold.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, I would have the opportunity and a blessing to kick a freestyle with DMC from Run DMC. So it was like a full circle moment for me. You know?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So if it's good enough for DMC, it's definitely gonna be good enough for Bars and Hoops Radio. Can we hear a little something? Can you kick a little something?
Y'all gotta give me encouragement. You know, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my
All right. Let's see what we can find.
We looking for a beat. Give
the rapping principal a beat.
Oh, we gotta get a rapping principal beat. Okay, check it out, man. Live on Bars and Hoops Radio. Here we go.
Turn that up. Okay, all right. Ooh. Love this beat. All right. Check it out. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. See, I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader at last. I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader, I'm a leader at last. Hey, it's the 109 man, and time to shine, and I'm still shining. I'm a guy who changes schools around. Still, there are those who want to put me down. You see, I put the uniforms to the schools, and every day it's worn. Teachers teach it at a high degree, using data, and that's because of me. Children smiling on their face, there's glee. My school is where they want to be. I'm a leader, hey man, it's crazy. Never thought in my life that one day I'd be in charge of so many young minds, counting on me almost all the time. But my father told me when I was young, one day you're gonna be a leader, son. So I stepped to the plate, man, even though the haters, man, keep on hating. I'm a leader not because I wanna rule, I'm a leader because I changed schools. I'm a leader, I'm a leader, I'm a leader, I'm a leader at last. I'm a leader, I'm a leader, I'm a leader, I'm a leader at last. I've been through the process, I felt the pain. I got something to say, so let me explain. Hypocrites are slick, but that's the game. Disrespect my character, defame my name. So one love to Martin and Garvey. Just like you see, they want to starve me. Isolation like Robeson, but in the end, we'll see who wins. And to some elected officials, talk hard but soft like tissue. Never there to address the issue. When it comes to the fight, hey man, we miss you. Nope, I'm not trying to diss you, but look in the mirror and you'll see that it's true. Now, I won't call your name out, but if it hits you, it fits you, it's you, no doubt. See, our children are dying, going to jail while their mamas are crying. In upstate jails, they make more predicted by third grade reading scores. I'm a leader.
We gonna drop a bomb for Dr. Shango Blake in the building. Word the bumper. You did that. Okay. Okay.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I learned a lot today, Steels. I don't know if you learned a lot from Dr. Blake.
I learned a lot, but it's a lot more than I need to learn, man. He's
No, thank you for having me. It's been great.
A lot of knowledge over there, man.
Yeah. So don't be a stranger. Definitely come back because we're doing something in June. We want to highlight. You a dad?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't like to assume.
Dad, but I'm a recent granddad. So my name is Pop Pop. That's my new name.
Okay, well, congratulations. I want to do a show uplifting Black fathers. There's a lot of, you know, negative stereotypes out there about Black fathers, and I know many, many, many great dedicated Black fathers, and I just want to give y'all some shine during the month of June. So come back. We're going to have a panel. And we just want to talk about what it's like being a Black father in America and some of the issues that we face.
Absolutely.
And definitely give y'all my cards, because if you got young daughters, I will do their hair.
Yeah.
And if you got older daughters that get their wigs done, I could point you in the right directions for that. Shout out to everybody who's letting their grays come out. This is only for tonight. That I'm not one of those. So shout out to y'all. But my hair is going to be black by tomorrow. Do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, I want to shout out to BU. I want to say to all of you who are listening, you should come to the BU Mixer, which is going to be on June 27th. You can follow us on IG at EdFluencersU. That's EdFluencersU. You need to be in the building. It's going to be amazing. And you can also reach out to me by going to on all social media platforms, Dr. Shango Blake, or go to my website, drshangoblake.com.
Definitely.
Wow. Yeah, definitely come in. I will be there. Share the flyer.
Will do.
And I'll share it. I'll reshare it. I want to give a shout out to some Black-owned businesses. Of course, always one of the number one networks, the Black Resource Network.
Black Resource Network. Shout out to them.
Yeah, we're all part of the Black Resource Network. Aaliyah, Dane, everybody, all the administration, all of the administrators. Shout out to y'all. They are, if you're not a part of the Black Resource Network and you're Black and you live in Queens, shame on you. Mm-hmm. That's BLAQUE Resource Network, or one word.
We got Leticia.
Letitia. Yeah.
She's a member of BU now.
Oh, sure.
We met her through the Black Resource Network. Yeah, so shout out to them.
Yeah, she's admin. She's an AP over at Grown Up Green.
Yep.
In Broward. Isn't it Broward somewhere? Somewhere in Queens. Anyway, shout out to everyone. Latoya is also peer coordinator over there. I got to hook up with those women. It's been a long, long time. Shout out to everybody that has anything to do with the Black Resource Network. I just want to also shout out King's Ransom. That's Steel's clothing line.
Yeah.
Steel's is the man. Y'all don't know. He's very, very humble. He was sitting courtside. He sits courtside at every game. He got season tickets to the Knicks. So
no, we don't.
Yeah.
We're looking for you, brother.
It's a lot. That costs a lot of money.
So what? Don't you have events coming up? You have a basketball game. What's going on?
So our fifth annual Bars and Hoops Roundball Classic is going to start on June the 24th. We'll be playing the Locust Manor Playground. That's the Jackie Robinson School of Queens, PS15, in Springfield Gardens. We're also going to have a Memorial Day barbecue here at the station.
What?
In the parking lot. Yes, we're going to do something. You know, we always try to do something for Memorial Day. And we'll also, like I said, we'll be heading down to the Black Film Festival in June in Miami. To do some networking and try to kind of bring.
No, I want to go to that. Wait, you're going to be there during the weekend too?
Yes. So from June the 14th to June the 18th, I'll be coming back. Yes. So we'll be there for that week.
Can you give me a pass if I go?
I mean, we can work something out. I'm booked for all the events.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, you see? Stills be out here. He has a whole celebrity on the low. Bro. He be having tickets. He be having passes. People be holding his spot.
Man, I'm just a simple guy, man. That's all, man. Know a few people. That's all.
Whatever. JLP Radio is going to be available for your watching pleasure this Wednesday, Thursday. So look for that. Please, please, please subscribe, share, hit the bell, whatever the things that you do to make it pop. Let them know we got a great show over here. If you yourself feel like you have what it takes to be a podcast host, how could they get in contact with you?
They can reach out to us on our IG page at barsandhoopsradio.com. They can email us directly at barsandhoopsradio@gmail.com. And yeah, if you want to do your own radio show, if you want to do a podcast, you have some podcast ideas, we have a staff here that can help you bring your ideas to life and help you get it off the ground. So,
okay. So I know you said you need help because you had to kind of be in two places at one time today.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
You need help Stills. Like, yes, do you have any opportunities for interns and all that?
Now we were working with one of the satellite schools down Hillside Avenue, where it's like for those children that are supposed to be out of high school, they're trying to figure it out. So they're trying to put them in position
like
second chance program where they put them in real life scenarios so where they can get some work experience. So we were working with them last year. I was supposed to be working with them this year, but the person that I had the contact with, she actually left. They did pass my information on to the next person, but they haven't sent me any information yet, and it's getting close to the end of the school year, so we may not have them, but I do plan on working with them down the line again.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody has any kids that they want to bring through to learn about operating a radio station, doing some engineering, operating cameras, they can reach out to us as well.
We should talk offline.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Definitely. Definitely do that. That was part of the thing when I was telling you about with the vendors. Like, that was my biggest issue. Like, Ask You told me that if you create something and you can't be everywhere at one time. So you have to create something that can be replicated without you having to be there every single time to get it off the ground. So that's what my roadblock was, because I don't have the help and the staff and the bodies to be there because I'm all over the place. So
shout out to the listeners. I see we have some listeners. We have quite a few listeners. If you are a listener, you always listen. I just want to thank you. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be on air listening. I know one listener in particular, Jessica. She's always down. Jessica, I'll be in my bed. Jessica be like, "You not going on today?" So yeah, shout out to Jessica. Yeah, and
she's a huge supporter of the station.
Yeah, definitely, and a big supporter of the show. Also, I just want to thank everybody who is in my corner, who understands, who have been flexible, have been patient, who have been sharing, people who have been giving me feedback, people are reaching out to me, giving me feedback. They talk about, oh, you need to have me as a guest host. If they want to be a guest host on the show, what does that take? They just come and be a, you can't just come and be a guest host.
You they got to speak to you first. You the boss.
I am the boss, but it's kind of hard being the boss because, like, I want to say yes to everybody, but now, you know, you got to be able to vibe with, like, I'm very, very different up here. You got to be able to think on your feet. I do have, like, a little blueprint, but, you know, I kind of go off rip. No, I do. Like, listen, I'm an educator, and anything that you're good at, you're supposed to put forth and, you know, pop your collar a little bit, but you got to be able to have that chemistry because you in front of a camera and you're on, and you got to look at a lot of different things. You got to have your questions right. You got to know how to feed off energy, you know. Absolutely. So, yeah, it takes a lot. So if you want to be a guest, come in. But you got to have something. Like, you can't just be, you just can't rely on me. You got to come with, okay, I want to talk about X, Y, and Z. You see Dr. Blake. I don't know how y'all going to beat Dr. Blake. He came up in here. He done shut it down. He already talked about how he friends with the mayor. Hey, he changing lives.
Shout out to the mayor.
Your grandfather. He spit the illest freestyle ever. Like, y'all coming on, y'all got to bring that type of energy. You got to bring Dr. Shaco type of energy. Or else you can't. Any other Black events coming out? Yeah, just if you go to the Black Resource Network, you become a member, and you there's a little thing that you have to fill out.
June 17th.
What's going on?
BU is hosting their third annual Juneteenth at York College.
Oh,
Juneteenth at York College. Yes, that's right.
I'll send information.
Everything that Dr. Blake is going to be a part of, he's going to send it to me. I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it on all my socials as soon as possible. And hopefully, you know, you guys tune in from now on. And then remember, we have a new schedule. It's every other week. So the next show, I believe, we got to talk about that because...
I thought you said you had Superstar Jay ready to come up.
No, well, Superstar... you know how Superstar Jay is. And, you know how James is.
And Jay tried to definitely tease me today.
He just got that. Yeah. Oh, for real?
Yeah, you know, everybody seen that I was there, and now I get all these inboxes and L's in my inbox. The Knicks lost.
You knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming. I'm like, oh, look at you guys. You couldn't wait.
That's okay, because when you at that ticker tape parade, the biggest ticker tape parade that New York has ever seen, they're gonna be eating their words. Don't worry. And even if they don't, like, the Knicks have been doing tremendous things and a lot to be proud about. And you know, proud New Yorker. They making New York proud right about now. So James, chill out, James. But yeah, Superstar Jay, I would love for him to be a guest. But you know, that man be everywhere. He just came back from Kentucky. Like, I'm like, you going to? He's in Kentucky. What is this man doing in Kentucky? Yeah. But you know, he making moves. Busy. I'm so proud of him. Yes. Yeah, booked and busy. Sundays he does his he has his brunch you know, residency in the city in Times Square. So we'll see if he can sacrifice one day, 1 hour to hang with his old friend from back in the day.
Hey,
yeah, because you know he's gonna try to change the whole thing into an interview for me. But that's all I have. Steels, it's nice seeing you again. Sorry about the Knicks. Short hair is life. Just to let everybody know, just in case you didn't know, short hair is life. That's about it.
Well, you know what I have to do then, since we're talking about the Knicks. I got to play my anthem on the way out of here, right?
All right, go ahead.
Here we go.
Right, coach. And now, please welcome your New York Knicks.
New York City, New York City, we back. The Big Apple, The Knicks are back. The Knicks are back. Stat Mellow.
This dedicated to my city, New York. Official kings in the court. Reach with a ball of hard nuts and gets tossed. So bring your skills to the nearest playground. No clown around. Catch a helmet in a minute on a New York playground. The Big Apple's what they call it for sure. And basketball is our sport. We play for keeps and never settle for sure. So bring your game when you come to my town. We snatch a crowd. You get embarrassed on the court after you're shook to the ground. You get respected when you prove you get down. So say the joke for the clowns. In NYC, we known to go a few rounds. This is the city where you're forced to go hard. You'll get booed out of Dodge and shown the door, being the weakest on squads. Walker Parker, summer nights, they stay live. Brothers play for the pride and bragging rights on who's the king of NY. So grab the pill and prepare to go hard. Pick your 12-man squad. Orange and blue, better believe we go hard. This for my city, New York, New York City, where it's gritty. Yeah, for my city, never pretty. New York City, sing it with me. Yeah, yeah, for my city, New York City, where it's gritty. NYC, for my city, never pretty. Yeah. New York City singing with me. Down at the Garden, MSG, it be live. The Knicks are back and it's time. The Razor banner next to Ewing's retired. 33, not degrees, it's Novocaine shooting threes. Wrap the belt around his waist, he got the cannon set to squeeze. From downtown, forget the man to rebound. He said New York is whack, a proven fact, so Charles is a clown. My squad stacked, that's a fact, and we built for combat. Some of you cats and commentators be straight haters like Shaq. I dunk on you like Steph, and it's a rap. But Coach Woody at the helm and Jason King got his back. With Shumpert Smith on standby to attack. So watch your back on alley-oops, protect your dome, I share a poster with cats. The brother Mello, he go hard in the paint. They playing deep, but they can't contain the boy as Willie Ball in the paint. Takes more than Jay for you to be the toast of the town. It's Knickerbocker basketball, the greatest city around. This for my city, New York City, where it's gritty. Yeah. For my city, never pretty. New York City, sing it with me. Yeah, yeah. For my city, New York City, where it's gritty. NYC, for my city, never pretty. Yeah. New York City, sing it with me. Now we got the Nets that move into town. New York and Brooklyn showdown, but NYC has always been a Knick town. Orange and blue, we rock the colors with pride. Let's take it back to Walt Clyde and Earl LeBron going to work on you guys. The UN era was live. It started in 85. The Twin Towers would devour you guys. R.I.P. to Dave the Butcher. We could never overlook a Knick legend up in heaven smiling down on our future. Bernard King, he was a scoring machine. He was a human wrecking ball straight up destroying your team. There was no defense you could draw in the scheme. From post-game to mid-range, you had no chance. He would just shatter your dreams. Ron Strickland, Action Jackson, John Starks, he played with passion. Larry Johnson, Oak and Mason did a lot of party crashing. Or any team who tried to step to NY. And if you put the jersey on, you better rock it with pride. This for my city, New York City, where it's gritty. Yeah, for my city, never pretty. New York City, sing it with me. Yeah, yeah, for my city, New York City, where it's gritty. NYC, for my city, never pretty. Yeah, New York City, sing it with me.
We all have the same goal, and that's to try to win a championship.